things are not always what they seem.
What's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. That's right, baby, your boy is back. I am back. You've just tuned into the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold Bennett, and you have just got to the right place at the right time with the right people. I tell you, you just could not have made a better choice. Listen, you know what we do. You know what we do every Sunday evening. We're here from 6 to 8 p.m. discussing issues and things that are happening that are just so important for our community. So, hey, let's do this early in the broadcast today. Call somebody. Email somebody. Text somebody. However it is you communicate, just let somebody know that the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold Bennett is on, and they need to listen to 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. They can get us on the internet at 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community, and then also tell them if they just have a smartphone, they can download the radio.com app. Tell them they need to do that real quick. Do that as quick as possible so they can hear our broadcast. That's what we do. It's called hospitality. And I'm counting on you to just spread the word about the WAOK website and the WAOK radio station and the programming that we do here. Hey, we're all about doing things and talking about things and involving you and making sure that our community is well informed. All right. Oh, also do this for me. Like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. 1380 WAOK. You can like us on Facebook. I need you to do that there so that you can, again, just stay plugged in to what it is we're doing here. It's our goal here at WAOK to make sure that you are informed, that you know what's happening in Atlanta, that you know what's happening in Charlotte, that you know what's happening in D.C., that you know what's happening in Dallas, that you know what's happening in Miami, you know, wherever you are, Nashville, Greensboro, North Carolina, wherever you are, we want you to know that we care about you and what's happening in our community. All right, like us on Facebook and okay, need you to like the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett. You need to like that page. Also, and in fact, what you should do is send a request to join the group so that you can become a part of the gist of the matter family. And we can talk and we can engage one another very interactively. OK, great. OK, got to say this. Y'all know how much I love myself some HBCUs. Y'all know that. Y'all know ENT put them hands on Bethune-Cookman yesterday. Right. Y'all know that. Right. I just had to put that in the atmosphere. The Aggies are back, baby. We back. We got some hurdles to get over, but we back, and we ready for action. We put them hands on Bethune-Cookman, but I want to congratulate Bethune-Cookman and congratulate all its graduates, and, you know, you all fought valiantly, but what can I say? Those Aggies, they did. We just do what Aggies do, you know. Hey, okay, all right. Bring it in, Bennett. Bring it in. Listen, You notice the pink here, right? You notice the pink. I have a little pink covering for the mic, and it's because of something that's very, very important, breast cancer. And October is, in one place, October is awareness for breast cancer. And I want to make sure that we recognize the seriousness of that disease, and that we're very thankful, and that we do what we can to support all of our survivors and people who've been affected by it. And let's find some kind of ways to support the research to help at some point wipe that thing out, because a lot of our mothers and our sisters and our aunties and our daughters are suffering or have suffered from breast cancer. And I want us to be sensitive to that monster that is just devastating, you know, the women in our community. So I am wearing this having this pink thing here to help, you know, show my solidarity with our sisters, and to let them know that I'm with them and that I'm giving, and I challenge you to give also. All right, listen, I got to say this because I'm about to run out of time. But for this little piece here, listen, but when I come back on the other side, I'm going to also talk about, you know, October is also Intimate Partner Violence Awareness Month. Breast cancer awareness and also Intimate Partner Violence. Intimate Partner Awareness Month, I'm going to call it that. When we come back on the other side, that's where I'm going in. And I want to talk about this whole issue of how this thing plays itself out with respect to older adults. That's right. Bennett said older adults. And I got an expert with me. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, you're too high profile to not be a part of this conversation. All right. Looking forward to you being a part of it. We're going to talk about domestic violence, how to understand it, intimate partner violence, especially with respect to older adults and some other things connected with it. All right. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
And Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. This is a beautiful day in the city of Atlanta, here in the state of Georgia. And, you know, I have this special kind of love for Atlanta, and I call Atlanta the intellectual headquarters of the African-American community. Yeah, we got so much capital. When I say capital, mind power here in the city of in Atlanta and in the urban area. We have people here who are experts at what they do. They're committed to the community. They're committed to preparing to serve our community. You know, this is just a great place to be. And it's a wonderful, wonderful platform here with WAOK to actually explore and to expose the wealth of what I call capital and talent and love that's just wrapped up in people who are committed to our community. Got somebody with me today now. Got someone with me today who is going to help us in our journey, in our quest to understand what I call intimate partner violence. And we can talk a little more about that term and flesh out just what that means, and even some of our understandings of that whole concept itself. I have someone with me who I tell you, she's sharp as a whip. You heard me mention her name earlier. I'm going to call her Lady Victoria right now. That's what I'm going to call you. Yeah, let's give Victoria Ferguson Young some of that gist of the matter love. There you go, Sean. There you go. Yeah, yeah. And she is what I would call, she is one of our powerful sisters and sheroes. That's probably a better term I would use. I'm so happy that she is with us, and she's connected with this whole question of or this whole issue of intimate partner violence. So what I'm going to do, Victoria, tell us about yourself and what you have done and how you're connected with this whole issue of intimate partner violence.
Okay. Well, first, thank you, Dr. Bennett, for having me as a guest on your show. Hello to everybody out there listening. As Dr. Bennett stated, I'm Victoria Ferguson Young. I have been doing advocacy work to end domestic violence, intimate partner violence, violence against women for the past 11 years. I started with the Women's Resource Center to End Domestic Violence. It's a domestic violence agency based in DeKalb County. Have been a chaplain and women's advocate there, and then worked in Fulton County and as a legal advocate, a victim advocate for survivors of violence in the Solicitor General's office, and was a family violence counselor there. And I've also had the opportunity to work with the side of accountability with those who perpetrate violence in DeKalb County Magistrate Court. I was like a probation officer. I was called a compliance officer. I was someone who monitored people who had protective orders issued against them and making sure that they went to their intervention classes and programs. I'm also an ordained minister. Dr. Bennett is my former professor from ICC.
You didn't have to tell them that. You had to tell them that. You done, oh, now they know. Now they know.
Gotta tell them that.
Oh.
And an excellent one at that, of course. And so as a professional advocate, as, theologian and ordained minister, I saw, of course, the intersection and the crossroads, if you will, of the church or faith communities and us and victims and survivors and perpetrators of violence. Mm-hmm. And knowing that for so many victims of violence, going to their faith community for help is one of the first places that they go. But unfortunately, leaders and ministers within faith communities are often not trained, have no experience, no depth of understanding as to how to appropriately address and respond to this issue. And so I have done a lot of work in working to bridge that gap and to equip more faith leaders with the knowledge of how to address and prevent intimate partner violence and gender-based violence, and then also, with domestic violence agencies throughout the Atlanta area to know more about faith communities as well and ways they can work together, because it's about collaboration and partnership.
So you've had your hands full with this type mm-hmm. of thing, and it seems that there is a passion that you have mm-hmm. for this situation. Let me ask you something, and I want you to tell me how prevalent, or if prevalent might not be the right word, but how widespread is this issue of intimate partner violence, and specifically what you do with mm-hmm. dealing with older.
Yes, yeah.
And that's the piece that fascinates me about mm-hmm. what you do, because I do think a lot of us, when we think about intimate partner violence, we don't think about, or we only think about, a certain segment of the population. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we think that much about how this thing cashes out itself with respect to older.
Yes, yes.
Adults.
Well, I just in regards to that, I've recently completed working with DeKalb County with their Ending Abuse in Later Life project as the coordinator for that project. And so for that, what we worked to do was improve services throughout DeKalb in particular. Mm-hmm. That makes it easier for older adults to come forward to get help, and also to equip those who respond to the elder abuse and domestic violence with older adults. So that would be law enforcement, that would be judges, prosecutors, community leaders and advocates, and also other domestic violence agencies, mm-hmm. So that there's a heightened awareness and sensitivity as to how to specifically address and work with older adults, mm-hmm. Especially those who have challenges with mobility, who maybe have some dementia or Alzheimer's related issues, who are just in need of a lot more help and assistance, that maybe aren't able-bodied like as they were, mm-hmm. Aren't as, connected to their community because they're older. And so they have even more barriers to getting help and even knowing what's available. And so we have worked for the past 4 years to bridge a lot of gaps. Thankfully, being in DeKalb, there's a lot of resources, but a lot of the agencies and even leaders in this work weren't so much working together, and working in tandem. And so we worked to really bridge that. So a lot of closing gaps, things like that. So people are working together to have more effective services for older adults. So that's particularly what I've done there. And what we find with those who are older, additionally, a lot of times, overwhelmingly with older adults, the violence that one of the most prevalent form of violence is going to be financial, mm-hmm. where their finances are taken advantage of. Their Social Security is used oftentimes by their adult children or even caregivers that they know. And so, unfortunately, they put their trust in those who have to get medications for them or take them to the doctor or help to pay their bills because maybe they just physically or just mentally cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they can get taken advantage of and be neglected, which can lead to, just their malnourishment and, you know, mistreatment and even more trauma for them and isolate them even more from the community. So it's even more taboo in what, you know, we even see with a lot of agencies, their domestic violence agencies, sometimes their outreach materials have pictures of younger women or women mm-hmm. with children. And even like the safe houses or shelters may not have all the accommodations or, you know, for that can help older adults. And so wanting them to just be more aware of that. And so we created, you know, more materials that have right. older adults to show this is okay for you. You can call here too, because we find the older adults say, I didn't think I could call there. It looked like it was just for younger people. So wanting agencies who do outreach to be intentional about reaching out to places that seniors frequent mm-hmm. And that they're using the language that's inclusive for older adults and things like that. So that's been that's a lot of what we focused on over the past few years and have been able to make some good strides there.
I tell you what I'd like to do is spend a little more time kind of fleshing out yeah. or shall I say painting this picture of abuse, mm-hmm. what it looks like for older mm-hmm. adults, because I'm wondering how many of us actually have thought about this, and then how many of us might be wanting to recognize if someone who is older is actually being abused. How would you know if? How could you see it? How could you recognize it? How could you identify it? Because one of the things I'm wondering is, in matter of fact, not wondering, but I would even go as far as to say that it's kind of hard to do something about something if you don't know it's there.
Of course.
If you don't know it's there. So, I mean, what does it look like? You know, what are some of the symptoms? How could you go about seeing or recognizing or knowing that an older adult is, in fact, being abused? You know, because I've said, and I said this on the last show, that sometimes our churches will see one of our sisters come to church, and you look over there and you see she has a mark on her face, or you mm-hmm. see somehow or another there's some disfiguration someplace mm-hmm. on her face, or maybe even on her arm or something, and you'll see that she struggled to try to cover it with makeup, and you see this kind of thing on an ongoing basis, but won't say a word because that ain't none of your business. Mm-hmm. You know, you see this stuff going on, but ain't. No one is going to do anything, you know, and that's it's troubling to me mm-hmm. to think that, and for some of us to perhaps maybe we can see it and maybe we're looking at it and we don't even know it. So right. I want you to talk to us on the other side about what does an older adult who's being abused, what does he or she look like? Mm-hmm. What are the symptoms? All right. Okay. Some of the symptoms. We're going to get to that on the other side. You ready to talk about
I'm
it on the other
talk
side?
About it.
All right. Hey, y'all. Go no place. Stay right there. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
And Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold Bennett, and I have someone with me in the studio who is a skilled care and service provider to persons who are, in fact, I would call survivors and might even be involved in intimate partner type of violence relationships, and specifically older
older adults, and I have Victoria Ferguson Young with me, and she's just dropping some information on us. So hey, get yourself together. We got a lot more to come. But I gotta put this out there. Before I return to my conversation with Victoria. Y'all know we gotta do something. The Saints on the verge of losing. We need the Saints to lose. Oh yeah, I don't hide my feelings about that. I do not support the New Orleans Saints. I'm just being honest. I know y'all listen from New Orleans and whatnot, from New Orleans, but I'm just letting you know I don't get down with the Saints like that. I don't rock with the Saints like that. I need the Saints to lose. So everybody that's listening, y'all know we need the Saints to lose. The Ravens are up on them, so we got to pull for them Ravens. We need that's right, baby. Carolina won, and I didn't like that at all. All right, just had to get that off my chest. Oh, got to say this, too. I want to send a big shout-out to all of those beautiful moms and even men who are very much so connected with Jack and Jill. I want to send a shout-out to the Atlanta chapter of Jack and Jill. And I also got to send a shout-out to GMAC, the greater Metropolitan Atlanta, you know, chapter of Jack and Jill. I got to send it out because they listening today and they're you know how that y'all bros, y'all know how that is. We gotta support our sisters. And even Jack and Jill does a lot in the community. And you know, maybe we'll have a show with them one day. I think we can make that happen. All right. The number's 448-922-7003. Before the last break, we were talking about how could you recognize, are there any symptoms of an older adult who's involved or is in fact a victim in this intimate partner violence thing? And Victoria, you were going to
talk about that.
Give us some clues.
So, there are some things that, you know, can be red flags. Doesn't necessarily mean that someone may be experiencing abuse, but, you know, for older adults in particular, if, you know, you are someone who, you know, has a relationship with an older adult, maybe at your church or faith community, or, you know, you may see them frequent, you know, a certain center or something of that nature. And suddenly maybe you don't see them anymore, you know, to inquire and to find out and to ask questions about how they're doing, checking on them. You know, if you know that also, you know, they have maybe an adult child or a spouse or, you know, someone who is who is not maybe working, but utilizing their funds or resources, or maybe you talk to them and they say, I don't know what happened to, you know, my money, or I don't know where, you know, I've been given my son or I've been given such and such or whomever, you know, my money to deposit at the bank and they're, you know, it's not there. I check my account and there's no money. You know, things like that can be red flags of, you know, to get curious about what's happening, to see and to find out, you know, could there be some type of, you know, financial exploitation there? A big part of abuse is isolation from people who, you know, that person is connected to, from places that they may frequent. And so if you're not seeing them, if they're not coming around, that's something to get curious about. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's happening, but to, you know, to check in with them, see how things are going. And making sure, are they going to their doctor's appointment? Asking questions like, you know, are you going to your doctor's appointments? Are you going like you're supposed to? Have you been getting your medication? Things like that, because those are ways in which neglect can take place if someone is being abused, that they're not getting to, you know, they're not being taken to the doctor like they're supposed to. So those are some things, you know, it's if something, and also trusting your instincts, you know, if something seems strange or odd, or, you know, there's, again, you're not maybe seeing someone, or you know that, you know, the situation maybe with who's helping to take care of them doesn't seem right. Maybe you know, they have a caregiver, but they're not, you can tell they're not well taken care of. Or if you go visit and, you know, you may see things like padlocks on the refrigerator or things locked up, or, you know, the house maybe isn't, you know, clean, or there can be signs in which, you know, your instincts can tell you, I wonder if everything's okay here. And sometimes, you know, people need additional help, or maybe there's additional care that's needed. Uh-huh. Maybe it's not necessarily always intentional. But if something does not seem right, you know, ethically, it's always good to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And to recognize that there's, you know, in DeKalb and Fulton counties, in Metro Atlanta, we do have a lot of resources. There's a lot of senior centers. There's senior link lines in DeKalb County, which you can get connected to more resources and help if you're wondering wondering, I know somebody needs some more help, or maybe people can't take care of themselves. They want to stay home. You know, older folks are, have a lot of pride, and they don't, when things change with their independence, it's hard to let go, and that's understandable. And so wanting to make sure that people get the help that they need. So there's help that's out there and available. But it's important to ask in a way to see, you know, if people need help, you know, let them know, I'm concerned about you. Mm-hmm. And here's why. And, you know, when that happens, when you let someone know, they may, you know, someone who is experiencing violence may say, no, like, no, I'm good. You know, everything's okay. But when you let them know, I'm concerned about you, I'm here if you need something, they may come back to you a few weeks later and say, you know what, I do need to talk to you. Uh-huh. So, you know, you want to always let someone know who you suspect may be experiencing violence, or maybe that you know is experiencing violence, that you can be someone that can help, or you're willing to do what you can to help them, and to listen to them and to believe them if someone shares or discloses violence that they're experiencing.
My goodness. So what I'm hearing you do here in terms of giving, you're kind of sketching, you're kind of outlining, mm-hmm. kind of giving us, your term was red flags.
Yes.
You know, these are, you see these kinds of things. They might not necessarily be indicators,
true.
But there are some things that should make us say, okay, let me perhaps look into this situation. I'm interested, and I don't know if our callers are thinking about this, but I'm really, really wondering then, you know, this whole idea of violence. I love the way you're explaining it, and mm-hmm. You're talking about it in a way that doesn't necessarily mean that someone is actually being punched.
Correct.
Or struck.
Correct.
You know, would you want to say more about that?
Sure. And I didn't just speak to it then, but obviously that is probably the most common and often thought of type of violence.
Right.
Is physical violence. And you can see bruises and black eyes and cuts and bruises and things like that. But recognizing that there are multiple forms of violence that violence is rooted in, and abuse is rooted in power and control.
Mm-hmm.
So any way in which someone is using their privilege, their status, their strength, to take advantage, to control another person, to not allow them to have their own voice or agency, is a form of abuse. Some may be more egregious or worse or more, you know, just difficult or frightening than others. But there's, you know, it's still a form of abuse.
Right.
And any type of power and control, any way in which that happens, you know, there's wheels and there's descriptions, but honestly, there are so many ways in which someone can be, abuse can be used against him, or violence can be used against him, and recognizing that using power and control against someone is a form of violence.
Yes, yes.
Even without using it, though it may not be physical, taking advantage of someone's money, again, going back to elder abuse, which is very common with abuse with older adults and elder adults, is a form of violence.
Ooh, that's powerful there. And I want to, as they say, I want to let that just kind of like just marinate on that mm-hmm. for a minute. You know, the whole issue of whenever we misuse power, authority,
yes.
influence, mm-hmm. our resources to manipulate, to control, to violate someone else's agency.
Correct.
You know, I love that kind of language. I love us looking into those kinds of things. We're going to talk about that. When we come back on the other side, we're going to take some of these callers. 404-892-2703. We're going to go to the lines and we're going to see what you're thinking. And I hope you got something to share with Lady Victoria and what she does with helping us to understand and to recognize this whole issue of abuse. For adults, or helping to end abuse, you know, for persons who are in some of their just in the older stages of life. We can sort that out when you come back. All right, when we come back. 404-892-2703 is the number. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We'll be right back.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. Hey, you're listening to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold Bennett, and I'm sitting here. Yes, I'm sitting here with an extremely intelligent African-American sister dropping knowledge, letting us know where we need to, you know, where we need to tighten up some things and how we can be better, how we can think better, do better, be better. Hey, I'm here. And guess what? That was Alex Bunyan who brought us in. That's called Cascade. You know, y'all know Alex Bunyan. That's I think he's Donald Byrd's nephew. You know, y'all know how Bennett love jazz. Oh, I love jazz. I love HBCUs. I love the brothers of Omega Sci-Fi. Y'all know how I gets down. Ooh, stop it, boy. Stop it. Oh, man. Having the time of my life. Got some callers. 448-922-7703. Boy, some of you brothers have been patient. I'm going to go to Gideon. Gideon, hey, man, how you doing?
Dr. Bennett and Miss Victoria, how peace and blessings to you all. How's it going today?
I'm good.
Going well.
Excellent, excellent. You know, this is a very interesting topic and one that I'm quite familiar with because I took care of my mother for 40-plus years as an only child.
Mm.
And there is a bias, however, against men and elder care. And I can say that because I lived it. And I was listening to Miss Victoria, and she mentioned in all her conversations, she didn't speak anything about gender. But when she talked about, you were talking about how can you tell, and she was saying about money being taken, she said, well, my son took my money as an example. Unconsciously, however, sons and daughters are involved in elder care. And it's interesting because for the most part, our sons are not being educated and taught in nurturing. They're being taught, unfortunately, that the female is the nurturer, when in fact, men have the ability not only to nurture, but to teach it to their children, not just because we're built with muscles, but because we are human. And the issue of elder care for me started at an early age because my mother was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic, but yet she was functional. But as she aged, her condition, obviously as all of our, we have maladies as we get older and weaker, our immune systems and so forth, it increases. But when you look at the healthcare arena, elder care. As a matter of fact, my mother was dropped while she was in transit to a healthcare facility. And we know that in healthcare, retirement homes, there's abuse that happens there. So I think that we can broaden the discussion about abuse, and it isn't necessarily, just at home. It's also has to do with, depression. Because specifically as we get older, and I'm aging as well, you know, I'm 62 now, always been an athlete, and you can find where people who have been very active in their life, and as you begin to age and not be able to do some of the things, for some people, depression sets in, and that can trigger a number of different emotional responses that can cause people to think that they're being abused, but they're just being responding to their own depression and inability to do the things that they have not been doing. So it's a very complex issue. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I will say is internationally, because I have traveled and I was living in Africa for a short period of time, about a month or so, but it gave me the opportunity to see how other nations, I was in Nigeria in the state of Ahoya, and Oyo State, excuse me, and I saw the complex issue of parenting and elder care because those people take care of their elders.
Mm-hmm.
They have multi-generations in their households, and the way we used to do it, so you get a chance to see a number of different age groups and genders having to deal with and take care of their elders. And for me, it was very educational to see my mother They had predicted that she would not live long at all because of her condition. But I changed her diet, kept her active in church and activities, and my mother lived. She just passed a couple of years ago at the age of 88. Mm. So I would encourage specifically our sons as well as our daughters, because many times abuse happens with the females just like it does with the males, according to the relationship that they had with their parents, even if they would want to take care of them. And another thing, when you find, if you go in homes and you smell waste or urine, you know that's a signal that they're not being taken care of properly. But so, again, it's a tremendous subject. It's one that, because if we keep living, all of us are going to get old.
Right, that's right.
And we need to take, that's why a lot of our children need to be taken to hospitals, volunteer, and just, and then with their own elders. Unfortunately, in America, this is a throwaway society with our elders. We don't want to take care of them because we think it takes, you know, ruins our personal lives or whatever. But that loving, that caring is so tremendously important.
Well, wow. Thank you so much, Gideon. And I'm going to thank you so much. You know what? I'm going to ask Victoria to talk about, he said there seems to be some bias, or perhaps our thinking about violence towards older adults is skewed in the sense that we think often that males are the perpetrators, and perhaps there aren't our sisters who might be involved in these kinds of actions. And would you speak to that piece?
Yes, I will. You know, he is correct in that there are definitely women and adult women that are, you know, adult children that are women, and women that can utilize violence against older adults. That is prevalent. That is frequent. You know, most of my language, I have said adult children to, you know, be inclusive of both of gender. However, I did use that example. But no, we do see that there are women that do that are perpetrators of violence against older adults. So there's, you know, but overwhelmingly, when we see violence against other, you know, against people, overwhelmingly, their perpetrators are men. But yes, are there women that utilize violence and women that, you know, utilize these tactics, that someone that I talked about? And there were several more I did not get to. You know, he mentioned some other things that I didn't get a chance to even mention. But so, yes, that's, could there be bias there? Sure, there can be, but we do see that the facts show that perpetrators of violence most of the time can be men, and are men. And so, but there are women that also can use it. In regards to one point I wanted to mention about those who are in homes, or older adults who are at home, what we find from the project I did and the research that we've done is find that only 4% of older adults that need care are actually in an assisted living facility or a nursing home. Most people are at home with their, you know, with their family. And so there's a small number that are actually, you know, and that's due to cost. That's due to money. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. But yes, violence and abuse absolutely can take place in these assisted living facilities and in nursing homes, and, you know, can be prevalent. So it's always important for families to be very, you know, keep a close eye and to be frequent where their loved ones are, because abuse can happen. And to, you know, when something doesn't seem right, you know, he also mentioned if you smell urine or feces and bodily waste and see that people aren't kept clean or a lot of bed sores and things like that, to, you know, that to recognize that there could be, you know, some neglect that's taking place and people aren't being taken care of properly. Also, just very quickly, I know I hear the music there, but
there you go. you got it. Huh?
We also see that, you know, there's a prevalence of people who open homes. They may open up their own home to and have older adults stay there, you know, they and try to collect Social Security checks and have, you know, three or four people living in a basement and, you know, and they have them locked down there.
Do me a favor.
That can happen too.
But hold your point.
There's so many.
We're going to get to that. No. We're going to talk about that on the other side.
A lot of ways.
No, stay right there. Write that down. Please hold your point. Hey, y'all, got to go to a heartbreak. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Hey, this is the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold Bennett. I have Victoria Ferguson Young with me. I don't know which terms to use to describe her ability to help us think through something that's a very real issue in our community. And we're talking about intimate partner violence with older adults, and that's a very real issue that I'm learning about even now. And even just before the break, her comments were very insightful. Even Gideon has us thinking about and inviting us to think more so about some other kinds of acts of violence that have occurred against older adults. And Victoria, you were about to was talking about the whole issue of, I don't know, should call it these kind of homes where you say more about that. You, sure. you seem to have more skill.
So what I started to refer to is it's become more and more common in which someone will, you know, open up their basement or rooms in their house and, you know, sometimes invite older adults that they may meet, you know, so at a community center off the street or something, say, hey, you could come stay with me. I can provide food for you. You know, are you getting a social security check? I can make sure you get your medicine. I can, you know, help you with those things and you can have a place to stay. And I can just, you know, help to take care of that check when it comes. And not saying that everyone will take advantage of that if someone opens their home. But, you know, as someone who's done this work, we see the worst cases in which people will, you know, keep older adults locked in a basement, locked in a room with only a pail to use the bathroom, or just, you know, maybe feed them once a week. I mean, just absolutely horrendous conditions while they take their money, they drive Escalades, they live large, they travel, and they're keeping older adults locked in their home, taking advantage of their money and gravely neglecting them, sometimes leading to death. And so, that was something that, you know, so there's so many ways in which we see abuse against older adults that is, you know, that we're really seeking to, with the project that we just completed, was to bring more of that to the forefront. So there's more awareness. And, you know, for people where that happens in your neighborhood, if you see things that, you know, you see a lot of locks on your door, you know, on padlock things, and, you know, maybe you see people come in and they hardly come out, you know, so just to be mindful, you know, of things that your instincts say may not sit well with you. And so that's a, you know, that's another form in which we're seeing abuse. I also didn't get to much. I didn't get to talk about even sexual abuse that takes place with older adults, in which there are multiple, you know, ways in which there are rapes that happen with male and female older adults. And, you know, they can be just absolutely horrendous, which an older adult can be raped or sexually assaulted. And, you know, as an older person, sometimes don't recover from their injuries. It can happen from family members as well, you know, that can sexually abuse. It can even be caregivers that, you know, may do voyeurism, those that they care for watch pornography with them or make them watch pornography. Maybe there's someone who's wheelchair bound. They can't get up and move from a room. So there may not be a physical, you know, act, but a way in which that's a form of sexual abuse. That's a form of sexual assault. And so, I kind of skimmed the surface, but you know, there's so many ways in which older adults are abused, in which not having, you know, the same capacity with, you know, not maybe being able bodied and maybe not mentally being at a good place, or even, you know, being neglected due to not getting your medications or things like that. The impact that has, which can be different from someone who is younger or you know, able bodied, who doesn't have those impairments. So, you know, and I'd be remiss if I also didn't, you know, mention sexual assault. We also see which sometimes people are threatened to, you know, if you don't comply with what I want you to do, I'm going to put you in a home. I'm going to put you in a nursing home. You're going to this assisted living facility. And for many older adults, they want to stay at their home. They want to be at home, and that they can be threatened to have to leave if they say something to anyone about, you know, abuse that may be taking place in their home. So there's, you know, if we took all day, we would probably not catch every single way in which someone can be abused. But, you know, and those who, you know, like our previous caller who's been a caregiver for years, you know, thank them for that, you know, because caregiver stress is real, and recognizing there's a difference between caregiver stress and someone who is abusive. But, you know, thankfully for those of us who are in the Atlanta area, know that there's a lot of resources. If you are suspecting that someone may be abused, you can contact Adult Protective Services, you know, to file a report for an investigation. You know, so and I had also mentioned, you know, in DeKalb County, you can contact the Senior Link Line. Any of the DeKalb County Senior Centers have staff that can help as well. Agencies like the Women's Resource Center, even Partnership Against Domestic Violence, you know, can make those connections. So, you know, if you have questions, if you want to, you know, just get some more information, see how you can help someone, you know, there is help out there, because we don't always have all the answers, you know, and sometimes people don't know what to do. But so those are just, you know, as we, before the break, you know, I started to talk about it. So to come back to some of those things, and recognizing again that there's a really small amount of people who are actually in nursing homes or in assisted living facilities. Most people are at home and they're cared for by their family members.
Wow. So, wow. Well, I tell you what, 449-227-03, I'm going to take a caller, but I had to write something down, and something that I just never thought about. And maybe we can talk about it even more. And I know this might sound a little graphic, but sexual exploitation, sexual abuse of older adults, I never even thought that kind of thing would be happening. I mean, that's pitiful. All right, I'm going to go to the lines, 449-227-03. I'm going to my friend from Alabama, Taylor. How you are, man? How you doing?
I'm doing extremely well, Bennett, and your guest is, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
I was greeting your guest.
Oh.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. And, Bennett, this is an extremely important show. I even chose not to go to evening worship tonight in order to be on here with you and your guests.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So this is very important. The WBON radio, WAOK, at this point, they have emerged through the air. And that was a guy in radio in BON named Charles last night, said some things that I'm telling you just blew me away, but it made me realize I got to become very discreet with my time, you know, on the radio. And so in the morning, hopefully the Lord's willing, it'll be WJOD I'll be connecting with. But this is what I want to say. In the book, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child, violence takes place in the womb. And in this book, on page 74, and page 74 and page 84, it says that what happens before birth is a elaboration and depends on what happens after birth. And humorously speaking, but factual, our promised land is in the prenatal. The Lady of the Children Defense Fund and Dr. Alvin Poussant said both that we got to go into prenatal to help our kids as well as help ourselves. And I'm speaking from the first, the intermeaning of life. And there's the outer event, and in between is between. And until we can connect to our birth memories, the lady named Winfrey Gallagher says life starts in the womb. And a lot of us have not started back there.
Now, Taylor, now you know where I am on that issue. I hear all of that, but I'm really wondering, our memories of birth?
Well, I don't want to sound like your music is playing, so you're going to give me a chance to finish.
Here's what I'm going to do, Taylor. If this is all right with you, I'm going to hold you over.
It's quite all right with me.
No. I want to hold you over because I want to give you time to discuss and we come back. Because I'm concerned about whether or not people even have the biological, psychological, whatever necessary to even have. Do you have to have consciousness in order to have memories? I wonder, can you have memories and you can't have consciousness? Are you conscious during the birth process? Or is there something that happens subsequent to the external experience of the birthing experience? We got to talk about that. I'm so glad Victoria said maybe she can help me think through that. Bennett just might not be in it today. All right. 404-922-7703. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. The voice of the community.
Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to The Gist of the Matter with Dr. Bennett, with Victoria Ferguson Young, and with Sean, who's making things happen, finding us nice music, making sure that I see you all's calls on the screen, and making sure that when you call, you have great questions for me that aren't laced with profanity. Thank you, Sean. Okay. All right. Hey, 449-227-03. I'm going back to Taylor. I'm gonna let Taylor finish what he started. Taylor, go on and finish what you start, and I want to make sure now. Let me tell you what I'm listening for.
Okay.
I want you to show me. I want you to connect this whole issue of this prenatal circumstance. I want you to connect it with the plight of abuse with respect to older adults. I want you to connect the dots for me. Go ahead.
Well, the abuse part of it can be undefined, and it can be there. But this is the thing I want to show you to make the point about the prenatal. Dr. Harold Carter, you remember him?
I'm listening. Go. I remember that name.
This is the thing I want to say, Bennett. Now, let me make this point. This is critical because this is also the month in 1929 when the Depression happened. So I'm on a form of a state of urgency. I had the opportunity to talk to Mrs. Ferris once over the telephone, more than once. And one day I asked her, Ms. Ferris, I said, you don't sound like you went without food growing up. She said, we didn't. Because some of us parents, mothers were hungry and pregnant with us. Another point is this. On honeymoon night, some people, women, are raped on honeymoon night and have to live with it and don't even know how to explain it to anybody. And it's in the book by Sane Sex Life and Sane Sex Living by W.H. Long. It's a spiritual British medical doctor. So these are the points. I'm giving an information idea. I can't explain. And speaking of radio, see, what didn't happen on radio since you made that? See, radio has fed Black America a fantasy. And this fantasy is behind the radio now is not keeping up with the change that's taking place.
But Taylor, I hear you. But here's what I need you to do now. I want you to show me, I want you to connect what you're saying to abuse for older adults. That's what I need you. Make it clear.
I am an older adult.
Okay.
My mother was hungry and pregnant with me. Now, let me finish this point. One day I went to the house after my daddy had died. Food wasn't coming in as regular. So she said, you want a ham sandwich? And the tone she asked me, and never used that phone tone about food anymore. So I said, did you not want it before you had it? And she said, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing is wrong with me. I said, you was eating with me inside you before I saw the food. So my point is this, you're blind to your birth memory. And what you're saying on Black radio is nothing but outer event conversation, but you hadn't got to the inner meaning yet. Now, if you can't make that, and we are in the midst of a state of urgency, possibility of a Great Depression hitting black America for the first time, these are the wealthy black Americans. See, I'm taking out of church to share this with you because of what I believe the importance of it.
I appreciate that. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do. You said the name of that book is The Secret Life of the Unborn Child.
By Thomas Verney. There's a website. Also, and also the other one is Same Sex Life and Same Sex Living. And that last point is this, Bennett. Women have got to be testified or tried for why they got pregnant and had children and brought them in the world because they got a life.
Okay, Taylor. I think you fell off the truck, man. I think you fell off the truck and bumped your head.
They
picked you up after you had suffered major brain trauma and blood and loss of blood, bro. I ain't feeling that one, dog. Boy, Taylor has a way of inviting us into some crazy. Well, let me just put it like this: this is giving some thought, and I am open to different ways of viewing the world and different understandings of reality. And I got to admit, man, Taylor's world is a fascinating world. I mean, I wonder who else is a part of that world and who's visited it. That's something I'd like to find out. So if you've ever been a part of Taylor's world and you've ever seen what Taylor's experienced, give me a call and describe it for me so I can envision what this aspect of reality is like. All right. 448-922-7303. Herman, good evening, man. How you doing?
Oh, good. I'm going to see you at a closer to 80 than I am 70. But what I see now is the biggest abuse of older sick people and the mentally ill is voter registration and going to vote. You're coming in harassing blacks who don't want to go vote, you know, don't want to do nothing, but these organizations twist your arm and make you get on a bus with your walking cane and your walker, stand in the long line, you know, and vote. I think that's abuse. That's serious abuse. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be investigated.
Okay.
Because we just can't have that. And I appreciate you taking my call, my brother. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so very much. Victoria, I didn't think about that. What do you think about what Herman has said about this?
What I heard him say is that he's been forced to go vote, and
that's what it sounds like. Not
what he wanted to do.
Mm.
And, you know, if anybody's forced to do something, that's, you know, that is a type of violence. So, I mean, if I understand, of course, there's a push to get people who are eligible to vote. But if someone is forced to do something against their will or something they don't want to do, and it's, you know, that's problematic.
My goodness. And, you know, and I went last Thursday, I think it was, and I actually voted early.
Okay.
Because I do not want to be in any kind of way in that rush come November. I've already voted. But I noticed when I went in, I did see some seniors there, and they seemed that it seemed that they were, this was something they were doing of their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was, you know, perky, happy. Everybody seemed to be very cooperative. So I did not get the impression that anyone was there against his or her will. But I will say, while I never thought about, have you ever encountered anything like that in particular about seniors being, compelled and, you know, kidnapped and just herded into a vehicle and taken to somewhere and made to vote?
I actually have not heard that, and I've been involved in voter registration and even mobilization efforts. But, you know, those in which I've worked with have all been, you know, it's always important to, you know, you work with people who are willing. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that there's instance in which, and, you know, especially if he vocalized his desire to not do that,
mm-hmm.
You know, that he was still, you know, made to do so. So I haven't heard of that, though. I have not.
Ah, boy, I tell you.
Normally people are ready to go vote, you know, and older adults, you know, oftentimes are very excited to exercise their right to vote. So that is a first for me to hear that.
It is, because a lot of older adults that I know are disturbed with a lot of younger people who tend to take this stance where voting is senseless or it's useless.
Right.
And even to use a larger philosophical, theological term, to advocate for an ethic of political disengagement. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. seem to oppose that.
Right.
And like, don't y'all know what we went through just so y'all can vote?
Yeah.
So they have this excitement about mm-hmm. about voting and want to get it done. All right. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk some more about this violence, this intimate partner violence. And even we're going to talk about even some things in the community that are speaking to it in a very effective kind of way. I think you mentioned something about men stopping violence.
I did. Yes.
We're going to get to that on the other side and some other types of things, and I'm looking forward to it. Hey, don't y'all go anywhere. Call somebody, email somebody, text somebody, and tell them we about to get into another aspect of this very meaningful conversation with respect to, we talk about intimate partner violence. This time we're talking about abuse of older adults. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to The Gist of the Matter with Dr. Harold Bennett, and I am so fortunate to have Victoria Ferguson Young with me. Hey, she's an alum of Howard University.
That's right.
You know, y'all know me.
You?
As you know that it took something for me to say that. Y'all know, hey, but you know, hey, at HBCU Love, I love it. She's a proud graduate of Howard University. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority in Incorporated. And I'm as another big shout out to the Divine Nine. And it's just, and I'm a proud graduate of the Interdenominational Theological Center. And she is an advocate here in DeKalb County and Fulton County. Hey, she's just making it happen, and I'm so proud of her. Mom connected with Jackie Hill. I mean, I can't begin to say enough about her. She is really, she's inviting us to think very carefully and seriously about this whole issue of abuse of respect to adults. The number is 448-922-2703. I'm going to go to the line today. I want you to let us know what you think. Hello, Todd. How you doing?
Yo, Harold Bennett.
What's
up? Victoria, I got a quick question for you before I get into the actual topic. What's your mom's connection to Jack and Jill?
Well, I'm a mother of Jack and Jill.
You are?
Yeah, and I also grew up in Jack and Jill, so my mother was also a mother.
Where'd you grow up?
From here.
Jack and Jill used to put together functions for the kids that I grew up with in Cleveland. I support Jack and Jill. Nationwide, especially for us, being black.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is a topic I find very difficult, but it's something that should be talked about. So here's some things to consider that you may also dealt with separately from our class. And sometimes the bank, utility company, will make somebody available for you to have a serious conversation to alert third party when there's some unusual amount of money being taken out of your account and or applied to utilities when rates are going unusual, the usage is going unusually high. And those are signs as well of somebody possibly grandson just pulled their grandma out of this senior citizen facility. That's good. It happens sometimes. The best facilities in this country, sometimes it takes them a minute to find out who slipped in this file, and sometimes when they do find out, they've already messed somebody over. So it happens, okay?
It does.
So these are the things to look out for, and these are the things that you can put into place sometimes to make sure that their money's being properly spent. And in addition to that, it helps that they have a third party that works with their doctor other than the person that's supposed to be the main person to take care of them. You know, so let's say hypothetically they have their grandson or granddaughter taking care of them, but they're still coming up injured from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Old people fall down, they have brittle bones,
yes.
Okay? But everything is necessarily as a result of that. It helps that if they have a third person
a second person rather, in addition to the primary person, to keep up on their medical records and what's consistent and what's not consistent. And this is something you should look for. I'm about to mention this clearly. If that primary person takes offense to there being an additional person to keep up with it, that's a sign that something might be up. Because somebody who's really taking care of an older person, daughter, son, granddaughter, niece, nephew, shouldn't take offense to there being a second party to check them. You follow me?
Absolutely. And normally, yeah, caregivers want help. So if it's somebody else that can, you know, help out, you know, that's when it's a good situation, or, you know, they would welcome that. So I agree.
Pay attention to that if that's going on. I mean, it may not be any need to be alarmed, because sometimes it's just an ego thing and they actually are taking good care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a sign that you need to stay on top of. And if they're not eating a proper diet for what would be a proper diet for them as an individual,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes is a sign that they're emotionally not in good shape, and there may be some reason why they're emotionally not in good shape, because they're verbally getting dogged out. They may not be getting physically beat up, but they're verbally getting dogged out, and they lost the self-confidence to admit that this is not how I should be getting treated, and I don't know who to talk to about it, so I'm just suffering silently by not eating properly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are signs too that you should look for. The person that we just pulled out, she didn't get dogged out real bad, but she did get dogged out some, and she bounced back quick. But it's, you don't want to see somebody go through that at the back end of their life,
right?
You know, especially good people. So, as people that are not in those type of situations in life, because of our age and because of our strength, prepare yourself for getting old. Think about things like this that you may have to put into place to protect yourself as you get older.
That's right.
Todd, thank you so much for that call. And I, you know what, Todd, I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed. That was well said.
Well, I'm from a very well connected large family. So I've seen a lot of people in my family get old and then fade out. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen a bunch of folks get dogged out, because my family's not like that. And in addition to that, all the folks that have come in behind me, including my group too, the younger group and my group, we were raised to understand that, you know, we are part of a collective, and in order to be part of the collective and be protected by the collective, you got to protect the old as well as you protect the young.
Correct.
So in exit, I will say, I hope the Saints lose too, because the Browns beat the Ravens, and the Browns need to stay out in front of the Steelers, and the Browns just lost to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay lost to the Steelers. So
I know I need the Ravens to win. Now check this out. I think the Ravens got Carolina next week. I need to look and see.
I need the Ravens to lose.
Well, I need the Ravens to win, because I need the Saints to lose.
Well, I can't
get down with the Browns, man.
All right,
all right, Todd. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
All right.
Wow. 449-227-03 is the number. And listen, I have a line open for you. You can sneak into that. You don't have to sneak into the spot that Todd just left open. You just call, and I am going to get you in this call. I tell you what, I'm gonna see if I can get this caller. Let's see, we got Stephanie. How are you, Stephanie?
I am great. First, I have to give a big Western New York shout out to Miss Young. I was raised in Lockport.
Okay.
So I know you know where that
is.
Yeah,
I do. My dad worked there for years.
And my first place I ever lived was right across from the Anchor Bar in Buffalo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to support you. But one of the things that I wanted to say about elder abuse, it is really, it's really hard, and it's very rampant, because mm-hmm. very often sometimes people think you can have like 8 kids and maybe only one is taking care of the person. And sometimes, like the last caller said, there is the financial consideration, but it's also, because my mother is facing this with my 94-year-old grandfather, if somebody's been vibrant and they've been able to take care of themselves, it's really hard to see it when you're close to them, that they no longer can really take care of themselves. And then I feel for these elders that just don't have people that are responsible enough to step to do it, because my mom, he's independent, he's feisty, he wants to still drive, and she will drop off meals 3 or 4 times a week and take him to his doctor's appointments. And a lot of families don't have that, or elders don't have people that are really willing to do that and step in, and it does make them rife for abuse. So I'll hang up, but I just wanted to just first give the shout out, but also say it is very difficult, and it's very difficult to come to terms when someone you love and care about and they're getting older or they're aging to actually even see that they need help. Yes. And I'll just listen off air.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much. Stephanie, are you a first-time caller? Are you a first-time caller?
I am. We listen. My husband and I listen all the time.
Oh.
So, yes.
Okay. Listen, I tell you what. There you go. I just wanted to show you the first-time caller love.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Enjoying it. You all take care.
Okay. All right. Okay. Listen, got to go to that break. 449-227-03. Write down that number, and we can get to you on the other side. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. Harold Bennett is here. Victoria Ferguson Young is with me. And that's Marcus Johnson who brought us in. He said, we just doing what we do. We just doing what we do. Y'all know that is smooth. I see your head moving. I see you turning up your favorite beverage, your latte, your coffee, your power drink, whatever it is, and you're relaxing and enjoying a nice, smooth Sunday evening with WAOK. Hey, as we put it down, we talk, we think, we grow. That's just what we do. We doing what we do. Yeah, I know that's how we do. Victoria Ferguson Young is with me. Hey, she got something else to tell you about. You was telling me about this Men Stopping Violence.
Yes, Men Stopping Violence is a nonprofit that's based in DeKalb County in Decatur. And they're about 35, 36 years old, but their focus is solely in engaging men to end violence against women and girls and create safer communities for women and girls. I have worked with them as a contractor for several years, in particular with their Because We Have Daughters program, which was created to answer the question, what will get men involved in the work to end violence against women and girls? And when overwhelmingly what will do that is because they have daughters. And so Because We Have Daughters is a unique, fun way of doing some really impactful work with intentional programming and activities that bring fathers and daughters and adult men and adolescent girls, may not necessarily be father, daughter, but uncle, niece, big brother, little sister, grandparents, granddaughters, to come together to do some activities that build leadership skills with the girls, but even more so importantly, equip men with tools to just be allies with their daughters, create more space for their daughters, to be mindful of how they show up in their relationship with their daughters, to think about the challenges and difficulties that girls and women face in our society, to listen more, to be much more attentive. And men get the opportunity to talk about fatherhood with other men there with a skilled professional. And I'm a co-facilitator of that. And we also do some breakout groups with the girls that come as adolescent girls from about age 8 to 16 or so. And it's a fun way of doing some really impactful work. Doing advocacy work to end violence can be heavy and taxing at times. And so to come together to see the deepening of relationship with men and girls, with fathers and daughters, and for men to feel more equipped to even be a better dad to their daughters, but also the other women in their lives, or spouses, girlfriends, mothers, sisters. And they do a lot of great work with intervention and and accountability, holding men accountable for using violence against women, and again, and equipping men to you know, with more tools to be mindful of how they may use violence, and understanding that violence, again, is not bruises and black eyes only, but the many ways in which it can be emotional, financial, using isolation, threats, intimidation, sexual violence, even online, you know, with Facebook, Instagram, ways you can threaten spiritual violence, using someone's faith against them. You know, so there's, again, like I say, any type of power and control, and also recognizing the way in which our world and society reinforces violence against women. You know, it does not happen in a silo. So oftentimes we think this is a private family matter, or between a dating couple or husband and wife, or same gender couple. You know, violence does not discriminate. You know, it happens, domestic violence, intimate partner violence happens in affluent communities, happens in poor communities, happens in communities of all colors. And so there's not, you know, it does not discriminate. Women are not immune. But also what Men's 7 Violence does, and something I also believe in, is that we also have to have a real focus on prevention. And we see the overwhelming majority of those who perpetrate violence are men. And recognizing this is not a women's issue, and getting more men to change their behavior. Wow. And to stand up and to stand in solidarity with women, and to hold other men accountable. And that happens in spaces like barbershops and, you know, conversations, you know, at a bar, and when people make jokes that, you know, as a brother, Dr. Bunny, you say, no, brother, that's not cool. That's not funny, mm-hmm. You know, to make a joke about, you know, whatever it may be. So, you know, those ways we find can be very effective in getting men to think more about, you know, violence that they may use or perpetrate, or just ways that they can show up and be even be better guys, and how they engage and think about women. So that's some of the work that they do. And, you know, they've been involved in the community for a long time, again, based out of Decatur and DeKalb County.
Wow. Well, I'm sitting here just taking notes, and there's so many things I want to follow up on. In our last few minutes, I want you to tell us about you and how we can get in touch with you, and what more things and services and products that you offer to help us deal with this issue of violence with respect to adults. Tell us more about yourself and your organization, how we can get in touch with you, all of that.
Okay, well, for me right now, I mean, I've worked with DeKalb County, worked with the Women's Resource Center. Again, we've worked with Men Stopping Violence. I'm best able to be reached even via email, victoriajuanita7@gmail.com.
Spell Juanita for us.
Sure, Juanita, @7@gmail.com. I do speaking engagements from time to time. I'll speak at various faith communities, just, you know, creating space to talk about gender-based violence and violence against women. And so that's some of the work that I'm doing now. I'm also thinking about doing some more writing about, you know, about violence and the ways in which it shows up in particular against black women. And so I'm thinking about that. So, you know, with the project that I was just working on with DeKalb has concluded, you know, kind of thinking about those next steps, wanting to do some more writing and even talk more about it in a digital space.
Right.
And engaging, you know, engaging more folks that way, in addition to, you know, just you know, doing trainings and things like that I've been fortunate to do. Also have the opportunity to work with the Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence and training community advocates and leaders. So, you know, I've been able to do the, you know, I've been able to be flexible and do that type of work in a lot of different capacities. So that's how you can reach me. Email is good. Also on social media.
Give the email again.
Victoria Juanita. Victoria, VictoriaJuanita, JUANITA, @7@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram at Victoria Juanita, and Twitter as well. Same thing, @VictoriaJuanita. And I have it on social media, so I'm easy to reach that way too.
Wonderful. Well, listen, Victoria Ferguson Young, thank you so much for being a part.
Thank you for having this.
No, we got a lot to talk about, and I'm going to do something extremely oppressive now. What is that? I'm going to tell you to write. Write. Please write.
Yeah.
Don't back off of that. Please write. I want you to write as much as you can, and let us know what you're writing so we can follow and we stay in conversation with you all. Listen, it's time for me to get ready to go. But I want to say this. I want to thank Jeanne Ross for this wonderful opportunity. Jeanne, I call her the visionary. I call her the door opener. I call her the mentor who has been so critical in my development. I tell you, I just don't know. I can't find the words to say to let you know how much I appreciate how you have laid the foundation for so many of us. And I encourage you and I wish you well. And there are some more things that I'll share with you a little later. But I want to thank you so much for this opportunity. Sean, love you, brother. You are all right. Victoria, thank you so much for caring enough.
Thank you, Dr.
To be a part of the community. Hey, the Gist of the Matter family, love you. Thank you so much for calling in, for talking, for being a part of the community. And I gotta thank my shero, Jackie. Jackie Teal up there in North Carolina. Baby, you raised a good black man. I had to say that. I'm just getting moved now thinking about the role that black women have played in my life. All right, love you. I tell you what, to be continued. I got a whole lot to say about this thing. As you all probably can tell, I care about what's happening in this intimate partner type of relationship. And we got to take care of each other. All right, talk to you next time. Peace and love.